Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by and for gamers of all types. We cover everything from retro gaming to pen and paper role playing and everything in between. So without further ado, here's your host, Scormus.
Well, hello there, you sexy bitches. I'm your host, Scormus, and welcome back to Pixels and Dice, the podcast that straight don't give a fuck. Anyway, hey, I've got to earn my explicit title somehow. Anyway, today I want to talk about a little topic that, yeah, most people really probably aren't going to care about. So if you're listening more for MMO content or video game content or retro game content, feel free to tune out this week. It doesn't really matter to me. Today I'm going to talk about card games. You know, those things that people used to play before there were video games and all that. You know, before consoles and PCs and whatnot, you'd sit and you'd play cards with your friends. Even before role-playing games, this is what we would do. Because they're fun. But more specifically, I'm not talking about, Solitaire or Canasta or any of that stuff. No. This isn't the podcast talking about Bridge and the history thereof. No, let's talk about a little bit about Cards Against Humanity. You ever heard of it? It's kind of a big deal. Now, if you haven't heard about Cards Against Humanity, first of all, I think you should pull your head out of the sand, which is a nice way of saying pull it out of your ass, and actually pay attention to the world around you for a little while, because Cards Against Humanity is one of the biggest tabletop games out there. It is a comedy card game that is huge amounts of fun, great party game, loads of fun. You gotta try it. It is unique as hell. Well, it was unique as hell. Not so much anymore. And that's kind of the concept behind today's episode. You see, Cards Against Humanity came out, and if I remember, it was kickstarted, and people jumped all over it. It's been a huge success since then. The guys behind the game routinely do outrageous stunts now, just basically throwing money away because they're buried in it, doing this big event or that big event for charity or whatever. And that's great. I'm glad that they're succeeding. It's a game that's worth it. It's worth their success. But as with World of Warcraft, when it came out and had that huge splash, even though there were MMOs before it, and there were certainly card games before Cards Against Humanity, World of Warcraft basically came out and said, boom, big man on campus, I'll run this place now, and took over the genre, right? Well, Cards Against Humanity did much the same thing. And what happened when WoW came out and made these huge, ridiculous amounts of player numbers? Suddenly, every other game company had to make an MMO. If they were already working on one, they twisted it and turned it to turn it into another WoW clone. Or if they weren't making an MMO, suddenly they were. And they were rushing to get them out the door, and things didn't work out so well, right? Well, we've seen the same thing with Cards Against Humanity. Suddenly, there have been more and more comedy card games placed out on the market. Some of them are good. For example, Exploding Kittens. Loads of fun. Some of them, kind of disturbing, like Disturbed Friends. That game still kind of makes my skin crawl. Can it be fun? Sure. It's one of those games you just have to experience, though. Ugh. I got it as a gift. It's the only reason I'm keeping it. Because, wow. That shit's fucked up. You have to see it to believe it. Actually, you know what? Read the box and tell me you're not disturbed by some of the stuff on that box. Some of the examples. Anyway, neither here nor there. The problem is that there's so many games out there that are just trying to jump on the Cards Against Humanity bandwagon that they're really diluting the overall market. I mean, sure, Cards Against Humanity has like their 20 millionth expansion out there. They just keep pumping out the cards and whatnot, and people could argue that that's diluting it too. But they're still Cards Against Humanity. They're supporting their own product. And it's an excellent product. Although I would say that Cards Against Humanity gets a little stale every once in a while. When you see the same card come up and the same response more than two times, you're starting to play it a little too much. Or you need to buy some more expansions. Just saying. Anyway, the problem is that you've got all these people supporting that game, and then you've got all these other hangers on. And my concern is that too many of these Johnny-come-lately card games are going to drag down the market as a whole, and then you lose everything. Because we've seen this before. Ask anybody that runs a mom-and-pop gaming store. What do they think of the aftermath of Magic the Gathering? I almost said World of Warcraft, but I didn't. I stopped myself. See, I'm not completely bad at this. Anyway, ask them. What do they think of the aftermath of Magic the Gathering coming out? The next few years. How did their business go? If they tell you anything other than, we did ridiculously well in the first few years, they're probably lying to you, or they're just really bad businessmen. But then what about the next few years after that? More likely than not, they're going to tell you a tale of woe. Woe as in, I lost my business, or I almost lost my business, or I had to take a huge hit financially, take out extra loans just to stay afloat. Because the same thing we're seeing with Cards Against Humanity happened with the collectible card game industry. Suddenly you had everybody putting out collectible card games, just like Magic the Gathering. And I'll be honest, back in the mid-90s, I bought into many of these games. You would not believe how many cards I bought for Wyvern. Does anyone remember Wyvern? Anybody? I do. I liked it. It was a fun game. I'm sure some of my people in my gaming group remember it. They probably still have some cards laying around, and if they do, I'd be happy to take them off their hands, because I actually still enjoy playing Wyvern. But it's been gone for many, many, many years. And the problem is, it wasn't the only one. There were lots and lots and lots of collectible card games suddenly out on the market. And you had game stores trying to buy into them and, you know, support all these different games. If they were smart, they didn't. If they were smart, they only bought into a few and continued their focus on Magic. And if you'll note, the ones that were smart, that continued their focus on Magic the Gathering, and didn't let themselves get into that obscure game and that obscure game, trying to reach for the next big thing, they're the ones that are still around after all these years, because they didn't go bankrupt trying to support dozens upon dozens upon dozens of games. Even if they provided almost very limited shelf life or shelf space to those many very different games, they still had to buy that. They still had to have stock on hand, because some of these did really well. They were selling out cards like crazy. I remember, like I said, with Wyvern, my local game store, suddenly when they introduced it, we were buying that stuff like crazy, and they couldn't hold on to Wyvern cards. They started treating them like, hey, maybe this is going to be like Magic, right? No, it wasn't. It didn't. It didn't last. People walked away because they liked Magic better. I would argue Wyvern had a more interesting system, but it didn't have the backing that Magic has, and thus never really caught on with the overall audience. And suddenly, our game store had spent so much money on Wyvern and other games like it, because they started buying into other games, hoping that they'd be able to sell those too, and that game store doesn't exist anymore. Now, granted, it was a small town game store, a mom and pop establishment, to be sure, but that small town game store supported lots of nearby towns that didn't have game stores. And so within 3 years after Magic the Gathering coming out, there was no game store within 100 miles. Yeah. No bueno. Now, since then, that has been dealt with. Other companies, other game stores came in and filled that void. But I still remember, and I feel bad for the folks that ran that game store. I got to know them personally. They were nice people. And they were just trying to make a living in their retirement. And I don't know what happened with them after they shut down. Hopefully they went on to just retire and whatnot. Their store is still there. They were able to sell it off. It no longer does gaming stuff. It's basically just a tchotchkes type, you know, tourist trap. But it still exists. It's just not a game store anymore. And that's really too bad, because they really introduced me to a lot of cool games. A lot of cool games that I spent way too much money on that, again, collapsed. You would not believe how many different card games I bought into in the mid-90s to early 2000s. Way too many to be proud of, let's be honest. And that's money I should have spent on, pen and paper role-playing games, to be honest. Of course, I spent money there too, but I could have spent more money. I could have helped out that industry, who also had problems because of Magic the Gathering and the upsurge in collectible card games. But what does all this have to do with Cards Against Humanity and its various clones? Well, obviously, this should be fairly apparent. I see great parallels between what happened with Magic the Gathering and what's happening with Cards Against Humanity now. Maybe it's on a smaller scale. Because let's be honest, Cards Against Humanity is a popular game, but it's not nearly the phenomenon that Magic the Gathering was. And where Magic the Gathering came out, and there were literally dozens upon dozens of clones within the next year, year and a half, out there on the market, fighting for shelf space, fighting for attention, and mostly losing. We don't see nearly as many clones of Cards Against Humanity out there, but we see enough. And these clones can't all survive. In fact, I expect many of them to be gone within a year. Now, a lot of them have a little bit of a hand up because they got through on Kickstarter. And so a lot of their initial investment was handled by basically pre-sales. And they're not dependent on survival like Magic the Gathering and its clones of continued booster card sales. Granted. But there's only so many people that are going to buy these comedy card games. I mean, if you've bought Cards Against Humanity and its nth number of expansions, great. You have a whole bunch of Cards Against Humanity. That's a big-ass stack of cards on your table. Are you going to do the same with Exploding Kittens? Or Disturbed Friends? Or insert name of comedy card game here? No. Most people aren't. Most people are going to focus on just Cards Against Humanity. Or maybe one or two other games. But they're certainly not going to buy expansions for those other games. Because, let's be honest, as fun as Exploding Kittens is, it's not a replacement for Cards Against Humanity. It's its own thing, to be sure. It's funny, it's cute, the card art is interesting. But if you asked people, if they both came out at the same time, and asked them, are you going to go with the shiny, colorful Exploding Kittens game? Or the basic black and white but hilarious Cards Against Humanity? I expect most people would go with the latter. They would go with Cards Against Humanity because it is, no offense to the creators of Exploding Kittens or any other clone game, it's Cards Against Humanity is just funnier. It's more fun. It's a more interesting product. And the thing is, it's going to have that longevity. It's going to be basically the monopoly of comedy card games. It's going to be the Uno of shit on your neighbor type card games. It's going to be the Magic the Gathering of collectible card games. It's going to be the system that survives. And that's great. But all these other games out there still exist. And they're not just in Kickstarter. They're not just being sold online, direct, or through Amazon, or whatever. They're also in game stores. They're on shelves. They are fighting for shelf space with other clones, with Cards Against Humanity, with other types of card games and board games and whatnot. And while I don't see the failure of Disturbing Friends, let's say this Disturbing Friends doesn't make it. I don't see that bringing down a bunch of game stores. It's certainly not going to bring down Amazon. But would it hurt the overall game industry? Yes. Is there going to be some game store out there that bought way too much stock of it that's now stuck and takes a major loss? I'll almost guarantee it. And does that mean that maybe one or two game stores go under? Possibly. I certainly wouldn't think of it a guarantee. I would hope that they're better businessmen than that and that they have learned from the errors made in the past, you know, like all the clone games of Magic the Gathering that brought down an almost collapsed an industry. I would hope they would have learned and then realized, you know, we really shouldn't be doing this. We really shouldn't buy a whole bunch of this, to be honest, obscure game. Disturbed Friends is the Wyvern of comedy card games. It is. It has its place. It can be fun. It's disturbing, to be sure, but some people like that. And it has definitely a place in the market. But will it survive for long? I don't think it will. I don't think this game is going to make it more than another year or so. Sorry, guys, I don't. It's got too limited of an appeal. And people are going to look at it and go, wow, that's really similar to Exploding Kittens, only... ooh, that's just gross. And I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of businessman you are. If somebody says, ooh, that's gross about your product, you probably failed at some point in your thought process while bringing it to market. Now, okay, there are sometimes you want people to say, ooh, that's gross. But that's not a market strategy for extended, continued growth. It just isn't. And I know, talking about market trends really makes for exciting podcasting. But in this case, it's something I feel pretty passionate about because I was there. I saw how the clone industry and collapse thereof for Magic the Gathering brought down game store after game store after game store. And meanwhile, the secondary market, all that money being sucked out of comic books sales and pen and paper role-playing game sales, all that money being sucked into Magic the Gathering, and other magic clones out there almost killed the tabletop role-playing industry. Almost, well, severely injured, at the very least, the comic book industry. Now, there was other reasons for that, too, but you get what I'm saying. When you had these game stores that used to sell comics and role-playing games and maybe some board games, and then they got into collectible card games, suddenly all that money gets focused into just the collectible card games. Suddenly these stores weren't stocking comic books as much. Suddenly they weren't stocking as many role-playing games. Suddenly they weren't stocking as many board games because, well, they need the shelf space for the collectible card games, and they needed money to buy all these different types. And when they bought into all these different types of different card games and the vast majority of them went away, Legend of the Five Rings, I'm looking at you, that was a huge problem for the industry when games like that, that had you had to put all this money and investment into for it and its expansions, and now it's gone. And you can't throw away these cards. You can't give them away for free. Nobody wants them. That hurt a lot of companies. That hurt a lot of game stores. That hurt game developers in completely unrelated areas. Just because they were... their product was being sold in the same shops as collectible card games. And I can see Right now, we're starting to see on a lesser degree, to be sure, but the potential for that happening again. Do I think it actually will happen? No. Do I see people going out of business over this? No. But do I see maybe some small role-playing games not having development to put out their next book in a timely fashion? Possibly. Do I see some independent comic book line struggling because nobody's buying their book? Possibly. Do I see some dumbass game store buying way too many copies of Exploding Kittens to actually sell in their market and losing their shirts? Possibly. You would think it wouldn't happen, but things like this have happened in the past. And come on. I think 2016 taught us all one big thing. Humans don't listen to the lessons of history. We don't. We see stupid things happen in the past, and then we go ahead and vote in President Trump. Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't go a couple episodes without saying something about that orange Cheez-It. Which, by the way, is an orange cracker. Get the joke? I can't take credit for that joke, but yeah, orange cracker. Anyway, so if you like the show, please feel free to give a positive review on iTunes or Google Play or wherever else. Leave a comment on the website, gamingstuff.website, or just send me a nice note on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. I'll be happy for the feedback because I haven't had feedback in so long. It's why I shut down my last website. When nobody ever says anything about your show, it makes you wonder if your bothering is even worth it. Anyway, generic ending catchphrase.